The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The day after John had baptized Jesus, John saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." Two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Gracious God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. And so we pray that you will open our minds and our hearts, that we might be open to the daily faithfulness that you express to us in so many ways. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to day two of the Bobby Smith 70th birthday celebration. A wonderful celebration for a wonderful lady. I want to take you back, actually forward a bit, and I think as you listen, it'll make sense why I want to do this today. When we reach Good Friday, we are going to celebrate the culmination, the completion of Jesus' faithfulness, of his completing his task, being faithful to the end and offering his life on the cross. The Jewish people had a tradition for Passover. They remembered that first Passover when they were told to sprinkle the blood of the lamb on their doorposts and the angel of death would pass over their houses and they would be saved, they would be redeemed. And in those successive Passovers, they continued in a way that tradition of offering a sacrificial lamb on the certain day of Passover, where there would be a lamb, unblemished, pure, undefiled, that would be brought to the altar and would be sacrificed on the altar to remind them not only of that first Passover when they were redeemed and delivered, but to remind them of how God has delivered them, and each year a reminder of how God delivers them from their sin. John's gospel is all put together to lead up to that moment in the temple when the lamb would be sacrificed on the altar. Except in John's gospel, he times it perfectly that when Jesus dies on the cross, it is the exact time when that lamb would have been sacrificed on the altar. John's whole gospel leads up to us to understand what he begins to tell us today when John the Baptist points and said, "There is the Lamb of God." John's gospel is to help us to understand that who this Jesus is, that for all eternity was part of God's plan, that by bringing Jesus to earth and Jesus living his perfect life, he would become our Savior. He would be our Redeemer. He would deliver us from our sin. So we already have two bookends here of what we hear today and where we're headed. For all eternity, this was God's plan. People have talked about sin and what that means throughout the ages. But for the purposes of the reading today and the readings we reflect upon, let's use this definition of sin. Sin is that which prevents us from becoming all that God would have us to be. In the opening prayer, I use some lines from St. Augustine. "God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." Anything that keeps us from resting in God is sin. Any obstacle, anything along the way. So hang on to that for a moment. Now we need to see, how does this play out for us in our lives? What does this have to do with the way we should be living day in and day out? God has a plan for each one of us. You know those words in Isaiah 49 that we heard read this morning to us? You need to hang on to those, because those are words for each one of us. "The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away." This is God's plan for each one of us. Put your own name in there. When you wake up some morning and you don't feel so good about life, read those phrases from Isaiah 49 and think of the God who loves you that much, that he had a plan for you from the day you were conceived in your mother's womb. Now, what does that plan mean? We get some hints as to what that plan is for each one of us when we look at the gospel today. The first words of John the Baptist, being that polished arrow in God's quiver, he points to Jesus and he says to two of his disciples, "There he is. There's the Son of God. There's the Lamb of God. Follow him." And the disciples no longer follow John, but they start to follow Jesus. John testifies to what he has seen, what we celebrated last week. "I should know, I baptized him, and I saw the Holy Spirit descend upon him. He's the one, follow him." And they do. And shortly thereafter, here comes Andrew. And John does the same thing with Andrew. "There is the Lamb of God, follow him." He points his arrow. And that's what Andrew does. And Andrew goes and he points his own arrow and he brings his brother Peter. And we know how many people Peter pointed that arrow at during his life and brought them. The section right after that, Nathanael comes and he too does the same thing. And later on in the Gospels, we're going to hear more about Andrew, because Andrew finds this boy that has some loaves and some fishes, and he brings that boy to Jesus because he knows what Jesus can do. There are some Greeks later on that Andrew is going to say, point his arrow, come to Jesus, and they do. And it goes on and on and on. Somehow in the midst of what our call is as followers of Christ is to be that polished arrow in God's quiver and enable God to use us just like he used John the Baptist to point the way to recognizing the presence of Christ in our lives and in the lives of other people. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Do you wake up in the morning and put your 2 feet on the side of the bed and thank God and recognize the presence of God in your life, that you have the freedom and the ability to do that, that you have eyes to see, that we have the freedom to come to worship where there are countries where they don't even have that freedom? It is incredible the mercies that we begin to see when we are attuned to being that polished arrow, not only for ourselves, but for others, and to be able to see Christ at work. I want to use an example this morning because there's an illustration that came to me a couple of months ago when I was at my favorite eye doctor's office. Excuse me, Dr. Carl. I'm not advertising for Dr. Carl Carter, but man, he's a great eye doctor. But every time I go there, there's a certain machine that I have to do, and I always get nervous even thinking about I'm going to have to go use this machine. It's that one where you sit down and you have to look through this visor, and they put this little clicker in your hand. And there are these little blips that are going to happen to your periphery on the left and the right, and you're supposed to click whenever you see one. And I feel like I'm back in school again, and I don't want to flunk that test. So I'm sitting there, was that one? I think it was. I'm not sure. Well, I'll click. I think it was twice. I'll click twice. Oh, there's another one. I'll click again. And whenever there's a doubt, I start clicking the thing. And I must have had the worst record ever. He probably didn't tell me how bad I did, because I'm just constantly clicking that thing, because I don't want to miss any. Now, take that example into our spiritual life. Something happens in our life. It could have been God. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it's just a coincidence. Are we willing to click that clicker? To use that polished arrow and point, yeah, that was God at work. How many times do we just slough it off? And we can be so quick to say, God was active in the bad things that happened in my life, but we forget how many incredible multitude of good things are happening, and we need to be attuned to see God at work there and be willing to click that clicker, to point our polished arrow, and to say, just like John, there's Jesus. There's Jesus. There's Jesus. And the more we do it, the more we perceive it. You look in the back of our bulletin and you see this little list of thanksgivings for prayers that are answered. Well, guess what? Next week we wipe out that list and we start over. We had a goal last year that we would cover that entire page with thanksgivings for prayers answered. Ways in which we could point and say, there's God. There's Jesus at work. Let's fill that page up this year. Let's be more attuned to the ways that God is at work in our lives each and every day. There were so many people that were committed at the beginning of the days of the church who were willing, like John the Baptist, to the point to the presence of God. And it has come and it has been passed down to us. Had somebody not done that for us in our lives, we would not be here today. The church is that one organization that for all eternity will always be one generation away from extinction. Because it always depends on our generation and the next to come to continue to point to the presence of God, the presence of Christ in our world. May we be like John. May we be like those who have gone before us. I want to end today with a great little story, very timely because it is told of Martin Luther King Jr., whose holiday we celebrate this weekend. It tells of his own commitment and his own desire to be that pointed arrow. It comes from words he expressed at his Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, and it goes like this. He said, "Every now and then I think about my own death and I think about my own funeral. If any of you are around when I have to meet my day, I don't want a long funeral. And if you get somebody to deliver the eulogy, tell them not to talk too long. Every now and then I wonder what I want them to say. Tell them not to mention that I have a Nobel Peace Prize. That isn't important. Tell them not to mention that I have 300 or 400 other awards. That's not important. I'd like someone to mention that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to give his life serving others. I'd like someone to say that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to love somebody. I want you to be able to say that day that I did try to feed the hungry. I want you to be able to say that day that I did try in my life to clothe those who were naked. I want you to be able to say that I did try to visit those in prison. I want you to say that I tried to love and serve humanity. I won't have any money left behind. I won't have the fine and luxurious things of life to leave behind. But I just want to leave a committed life behind. There's God. There's Christ. May we do the same. Amen.